haven't done public involvement because we want to have a conversation with you to say, does it merit further conversation, so that you can help lead us. And so we would go back to EPAP and others and have those conversations to really determine is there a need, and that might help us choose between various options that we have here.
And let me just emphasize again, this is a concept, and these three layouts are also concepts, so we haven't asked other bureaus whether they want to be in the customer service center. What we need to get from council is, are you interested in continuing to explore the possibilities? If the answer is absolutely not, Parksbury, you need to go back into the Portland building, then so be it. I will also note that we have Linda Robinson here from East Portland, who we want to, the council has questions about what the East Portland Action Plan might support. She's available.
So, I would conclude here with, you know, there's a third option, and again, these are concepts. We still need to do our due diligence and still need to do our public involvement with the community and with our partners to better understand, you know, what's the right mix here. So those are great questions that you've asked, and all of those things, you know, will be a part of our due diligence. But we just wanted to show that there is an ability here to do a mixed-use project that has a stronger presence on Halsey, which is a commercial corridor that, you know, I know PDC is working with the Halsey-Weidler Group, a subset of GABA, to actually really reinvigorate this commercial corridor and to bring more types of activation here. I have Jeff here. He's going to speak to how we could fund the parks portion of this project. So while this is a mixed-use...
If we're going to move to the financial piece, could we ask the chief financial officer to come up? Because I think there's some related questions that we can put Ken on the spot.
So the proposal that Jeff's going to present really speaks to the parks portion of this project. This will definitely be refined as we work with our partners on the whole project. But for now, this is a conservative estimate that we've put together and using the schematics that we have in front of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I am fighting a cold as well, so bear with me. Jeff Schaefer, finance manager for Parks. I'll say this is a caveat. This is just concepts, so there's not a lot of scope into the actual building of this. It's a little bit of a 30,000 foot level to a lot of complicated moving pieces. If you look at your sheet, there should be a page there that has a 1, 2, 3 for the funding model. I tried to simplify this as much as possible into section one, just being the components of the building, which would be an initial estimate of the building would cost for a three-story, 44,000 square foot building, which didn't have the mixed-use housing on it, would be around $17 million. After speaking with OMF, we decided that they may not have added some of the components that the city buildings tend to have a little bit more cost built into them than a back of the napkin estimate. So we added a 15% contingency after that conversation, which gets us into the neighborhood of $20 million. We looked at the pieces that would be the programming pieces, as Trang and Mike mentioned. There's some, whether it's a customer service center, whether it's a community music center, there's some programming elements that would be on the bottom floor that we would take that out and say those are system development charge eligible costs, so we could use system development charges to pay for that. And then the other components we looked at is what would we need to do for a loan to if we were going to do a debt service in order to fund the actual administrative headquarters piece of this. So that's where this is really focused, is on how do we pay for administrative headquarters without using the system development charges. There's a disposal of a property at 60th and Southeast 60th Ave that we built into potentially being able to offset some of this cost, $1.2 million that it's been recently appraised for.
60th and Stark, so it's the Mount Tabor. It's a Mount Tabor annex, former Portland Public Schools, 60th and Stark, and the YMCA has a child care program in that facility. We've listed as, yeah, that's correct. We've listed it as a surplus property. And the Housing Bureau is interested in that and has some ideas for a proposal for that site.
Okay, and then the final piece of that first section was after working with the city attorney on some of the, there's some shared use functions. So as you build a multi-purpose area, there's shared functions such as the core, whether it be the mechanical rooms, the parking lot. So as you get bigger, you can actually start sharing some of the costs of the core shared functions. That's just kind of a general estimate of $1.6 million of some shared pieces of that that could also be eligible for system development charges. And then that leaves us to the $6.7 million that you see there is the section number one. I then met with the debt department, and we discussed some financing options, and the one that made the most sense was an internal loan. There's not as many state regulations on doing a loan for yourself, and we're in a fortunate situation right now with a lot of system development charges revenues. I think over $70 million has come in the last 36 months, which allows us some cash flowing as we may allocate those into the next the construction plan, but you can't necessarily build $70 million worth of projects in a few years. So using that cash flow ability, it allows us to be able to fund an internal loan for ourselves using just the cash pool interest rate, which is what it would be earning in interest sitting in our city's cash pool. And working those scenarios out of some different scenarios, that comes out to about a $650,000 year one amortization, saying, okay, we would need about $650,000 of annual payments amortized over the on the back page of your sheet one there, if anybody wants to look at the detail on that. And the other component of that was we met with OMF facilities and talked about what are we currently paying for our space rent right now in the Portland building. So the 13th floor currently pays $363,000 annually for just the O&M on the 13th floor to OMF facilities. After meeting with them and talking through what are some of those pieces that are fixed in a building and what are some of those components that are a little more variable. What if we moved out, what pieces of that could we potentially defer for 10 years, saying we'll use our own facilities maintenance technicians and parks to help maintain that new building for the first 10 years. We'll defer the first 10 years of major maintenance allocation that OMF uses for their major maintenance allocation. So that's the $244,000 that you see reducing that is some variable costs. We would defer those 10 years of O&M on that we would currently be paying for the Portland building. That's also on the back if you want to see the details on that, which leaves us with about a $400,000 funding gap. Two council policy questions here that we've talked about are really how would we fund that? One option was internally we would fund it with a 10-year allocation out of our major maintenance. Currently get about $1.7 million of major maintenance for parks, deferred major maintenance. That would mean we'd have 10 years where it would only be like $1.3 million a year annually to fix what we have. Option two assumes that some of the savings that the general fund could see some savings from reallocation. In other words, if you move a general fund bureau out of the Portland building for that debt service that's going to happen for remodeling the Portland building, there's some general fund savings that could happen with another tenant coming in and paying that new rate. So if council chose to incorporate that that debt service savings, general fund savings from that debt service into this, then we could potentially fund it for almost as little as $200,000 out of that major maintenance for 10 years. So.
But if another general fund bureau moved people in, there wouldn't be such savings.
Right? It's assuming a non-general fund tenant moves in there to changes that allocation difference. So that's kind of, like I said, it's not real fully baked until we really know what the council's direction is on this, but it's just some ideas for is it feasible or not. So.
I asked Ken to come here because I had, I think, three questions, and the answers may be in the package you've given me, but there's a lot of numbers, so I'll let the CFO walk me through it. Ken, three questions. Number one, you've given us a number of presentations on space and consolidation of space and how we bring our costs down. So does this proposal fit within the city's long-term vision for use of space? Number two, if you take parks out of the Portland building, how do you replace them? And number three, what's the difference in cost between parks being located in the Portland building and being located in Gateway? I think those are the three. I can't hear myself anymore, but I think those are my three questions.
Certainly, Commissioner Ken Russ, the Chief Financial Officer. I'm going to start with, I think, the last two questions and then try to get to the first one, because the first one is not so much, I think, my decision as a collective decision by council on space costs for the long run and where people should be. So one of the things we've been doing, we've been working with parks about this funding plan, and I would say right now it's preliminary. In fact, we just got some revised numbers today, so some of the analysis that we've been working on is based on old numbers. We still have some questions about that. I think one of the unknowns that we have to work through, depending on the development plan, is the land cost. The land is owned by PDC. Depending on what happens with that project, that land may come at a with a price tag, and currently there's not land cost in the price proposal. But we don't know enough about the project, I think, to be able to reach a conclusion on that. So, well, one thing we have done is go, what happens if Parks moves out of the Portland building to a different location and it's not into the downtown space, and therefore they are not part of the blended rate cost pool that we've established for downtown office tenants for the city of Portland? So Aaron Beck has been doing a lot of work with me about what that means. And what we would do if Parks moved out is that we would move somebody else in. And probably who we would move in is OEHR and housing. It looks like the footprint for those bureaus is about the right size. We bring them out of lease space, put them in the Portland building. So yes, if the Parks Bureau moves out, there are some general fund savings. In fact, you know, Parks' share of the blended rate costs around $745,000. If they move out, but we bring another tenant in, the savings drop to about $590,000, mostly because the cost pool shrinks a bit, the square footage shrinks a bit, and the average cost per square foot goes up. So right now we're looking at about a $34.32 blended rate. It goes to $34.85. So you lose a general fund bureau, but you bring a general fund bureau back in. It's funded that way with a higher cost. We strip the savings down to about $590,000. So that's the general fund savings. But then the assumption in the finance plan, and this is where it gets a little bit more complicated, is that the current amount of the Cal target that's in the Parks Bureau's budget for the Portland building, which is around $16 a square foot, $367,000 a year, would remain with the Parks Bureau. So that $745,000 reduced to $590,000 also has to take into account the $363,000. We just didn't lose all the money. We still are going to allocate that to Parks. So the numbers get a little bit lower. Then what we were looking at in terms of, so that impact is smaller, and now we're into a couple $100,000 savings. And then we have to look at, from the city point of view and the general fund expenditure point of view, Parks is going to be incurring costs at the new facility. They've talked about deferring costs on major maintenance. They've talked about using their own people to do certain work. But those are costs that we're paying for that would have otherwise done something else. And so to get to an apples and apples kind of comparison, we need to make sure that both sides of this comparison have inside of it all the same numbers. So based on old numbers that we have, you know, it looks in the analysis that we've done, and I've shared this with Mike, and I think this is where more fine-tuning needs to be taken into account, is that the net general fund effect, when you look at all the money that the general fund's spending on parks-related things now, what it might be doing if it was spending it on this building, differences on the Portland building, blended rate, et cetera, net-net's about a negative $400,000. So what it would mean is that we would be incurring more cost to really provide this building facility out in Gateway. And part of that makes sense. And we have a building cost in Portland now. The blended rate downtown is going to be 34 something. The average cost for this building looks like it's around $44 a square foot. So it's not surprising that the costs are going to be up a little bit. And it really becomes into how you take into account these other uses of funds, major maintenance, the deferral of that. It's not as if there's not a cost. We've just decided to spend the money differently. So I think it's trying to figure out how do we line this thing up, apples to oranges. And also it gets a little even more complicated about what happens both now and over the long run. Over the long run, when financing costs are gone for this building, when financing costs are gone for the Portland building, on a net present value basis, do we land in a better spot or not? And we haven't done that kind of work, and that's the kind of thing that would help inform some of the discussion as well. So to answer your specific questions, we've looked at the blended rate analysis and the impact. Rates would go up in the blended rate pool. And in addition to the, while there's some general fund savings, non-general fund bureaus that aren't owners in our building, so Water and BES are going to be owners, and they get insulated from this change. But BDS and PBOT would see increases in their costs of about $90,000 a year between the two of them because of this increase in the blended rate. So that's where that boils down to. You talk about space costs for the long term. I think that is a question that needs more work. First is to find out what are the costs of the project and how we would fund them and how does it affect us both today and tomorrow, and also how does it affect some of the budget decisions you make around that. And so that's sort of the work they're doing. I would say, if you were to ask me what do I think and what's the bottom line, can I say it's too early to tell you because we still have a lot of work to do on these numbers. I do think that in the near term, it does mean increased cost. I don't think there's a way around that because what we're doing is buying more expensive space and we're going to put people into it. The question is that something that makes sense for us from a policy, from a programming point of view, of where we want to have our people be today and tomorrow? Those are decisions I'm not very well equipped to make, but I can help guide you through what the fiscal impacts might be. And Andrew Scott in the CBO's office may have some other thoughts about what it means on a budget point of view.
Other than the Commonwealth building, where are the housing people that we can imagine moving into the Portland building?
I believe it's people who are in the Commonwealth building coming in.
Plus, there's some in BES as well, right?
BES will be coming back into the building on space.
So to return to the mayor's, car usage question, we would be taking people who are, can use transit now and moving to another place they can use transit, and taking people who can use transit now and moving them to a place where arguably they wouldn't use transit.
So some questions about the cost. The total building cost estimate, $16,967, that's derived from some formula?
So we hired Dow Architects to actually do our schematic design, and then ACC estimates too.
Okay.
They actually took the schematic design and they made an estimate of that.
So what did you assume for land cost?
We did not assume land cost in this estimate. That's what Ken was.
Neither paying TDC nor buying the hardware store?
Correct.
Even though the site plan assumes using the hardware store?
It assumes using the hardware store with the number of parking spots, but also it actually delineates it out so that if we can't purchase it, then it wouldn't be included.
So it's assuming that PDC is going to donate the site.
Yes, Mayor, and we're just in light of what PDC and the Housing Bureau shared with the proposal that they have on the site. That's why we've had conversations with Human Solutions. Is there a way of making a merged project? And in that case, then the land is at no cost.
So if I'm understanding the financing right, you're proposing to take money from major maintenance allocation and then do an interfund loan from your SDC revenues? Excuse me. So two things. Seems major maintenance funds should be used for major maintenance, and that SDC funds should be used to expand capacity. And we had a very controversial, significant increase in the SDCs that take effect July 1st. And I guess the optics you're saying is we have so much revenue and we're going to be getting a boatload more starting July 1st, but we have no conceivable plan to spend that, and therefore we're going to borrow against that to build an administrative building.
So, and then taking the money from major maintenance.
Taking money from major maintenance for the same purpose, I also think has an optical problem associated with it. Major maintenance should be major maintenance, and I'm sure you have no shortage of an inventory of major maintenance needs.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think the two issues are, yes, we would use system development charge to pay for the expanded capacity. So all of the things that we're really thinking about as amenities are paid for with those SDCs. We have used SDCs in the past to backfill or cover loans for even some of our own maintenance facilities. So that's not without precedent going back years. And I think what we're identifying here is a gap between $178,000 a year and $400,000 a year. That's one solution for how you fill the gap, is there's a major maintenance allocation that in the past had been used. We had tapped it by $300,000 a year for maintenance facilities. So that would just be, you know, a practice that's there. We can look at other options as well.
I just remind everybody that that's how, before I was Parks Commissioner, we bought the Coldwood site with some development charges and then paid it back with the income from golf.
So now to just make this a little less unstructured and give you the feedback that you asked for, and so let me kick that off and we can throw questions in for the team if we want it. But first, Amanda, I just want to commend you for doing this. I mean, to have this kind of a roll-up-your-sleeves work session on an idea. There are no bad ideas, but there are ideas that fail, and I believe this one has. But I appreciate the fact that you, a Parks Commissioner who I believe in, and a Parks Director that I believe in, and a Parks Bureau that I love, were courageous enough to say, let's put this idea out there and let the council chew on it and see where we get to. My conclusion is this is not a good idea, but it was worthy to consider. Several things that lead me to that. The finances that we've just gone through are one. But I want to go back to a higher altitude first, and that is, I did have something to do with building some community centers. The reason we were able to move forward on those community centers was, one, voter support, which, again, you've proven that we have, for expanding the park system. But two, the Parks Bureau had done a very thoughtful citywide analysis of where more facilities were needed, park futures. And they'd worked on that for years before I became the Parks Commissioner. And that was the foundation for saying, okay, if we're going to build more community centers, we need one in Southwest, and we need one in East Portland, and we really need to expand the Mount Scott facility and have an indoor pool. We had that foundational understanding of strategically where we needed to go citywide to serve more people. And I don't believe we have that in this instance. I don't believe we have a foundational analysis that says the next place we really need to spend $9 million on a community center, or $10 million on a community center, is a mile and a half from the community center that we built before. Granted, construction costs have increased, but this would be the second most expensive community center in the system after Southwest in terms of price tag. That one cost $10 million. Granted, that was $1997, so a little different. But we don't have a basis to say, you betcha. The whole community has talked about this, and the place we really need to serve more people with more community center space is a mile and a half from the East Portland Community Center. Of course it's at capacity. They're all at capacity, or most of them are. So I think I have several pieces of advice for the council on this, some of which are political. I think you will get in political trouble with everybody but East Portland if you bless East Portland without a citywide process with the next community center, because I think the folks in Inner Southeast and other parts of the city are going to say, hey, wait a minute. Secondly, I think you're going to have a problem with the development community saying, you just asked us to pay more in systems development charges, and you're going to spend it on this? Wait a minute. So my advice to you is, my colleagues and the people that will have to be managing that political problem 7 months from now, where I won't, I think that will come back to bite you. Third, and this is going to sound a little harsher than it should, but again, Mike, believe in you, you're a great parks director, but all bureaus require direction from their commissioner, and the farther away they are, the harder they are to manage. Police headquarters is two blocks away, and that creates distance, and that sometimes is a problem. So, be careful about letting your bureaus get too far away from your reach as commissioners in charge. And then finally, you are also going to be left with the management of the Portland building problem. I think we have that problem on track to a odious, expensive, but responsible solution. Letting bureaus flee the Portland building is something you should do with great hesitation, whether it's for this reason or any other, whether it's this bureau or any other, because we own that damn thing. We've got to fix it up at great expense because somebody else cheaped out on building it the first time, that's too bad, but we've stepped up and resolved that problem. But you got to make sure it's full of paying tenants, and they're going to have to be our paying tenants because that building's so expensive nobody else will rent there. So those are my counsels. Again, I appreciate you putting this forward, but I think for a lot of reasons it's not the right solution. It might be possible that a city building in the David Douglas project might make sense. I'm not sure if it's for the Parks Bureau, but it might make sense to have city, if we need more city office space, that's an important question. Do we need more city office space? If we need more city office space, for whom? And if we need more city office space for somebody, where? Maybe that's Gateway. Maybe that's on the TriMet site, which is now a parking lot, or on the David Douglas School District joint development site, which we could perhaps become a partner in. But there's a lot more work to do before those questions are answered. Those are my reactions. But again, I appreciate you putting this out in front of us so we could kick it around.
Well, I am I'm still intrigued by the proposal, notwithstanding my concerns I just articulated about the source of financing. I do think those are problematical. But I'm intrigued by the potential partnership here between the Housing Bureau and Human Solutions and the Parks Bureau. I think the questions about whether this is the right place for Parks employees to be is a valid one, and how they get to and from work, and is this most convenient to our customers? I think those are questions I haven't really heard answered here, and I do think it's incumbent upon you to at least ask the employees how they feel about this, even though people get used to doing what they're doing, so change is hard, but at least you got to ask them. So I guess that's where I am. I think, and I guess, you know, can't, from the housing perspective, you just can't ignore the fact that there's a tremendous groundswell, it seems like, of neighbors opposed to affordable housing at this location. Doesn't mean we may not do it, but we have to listen to that, and that's not so much your problem as it is housing's problem and Human Solutions' problem. But there does seem to be a lot of opposition around this proposal on those two points. And I'll be having a meeting out there Monday to further hear more about that.
And Commissioner, thank you for those remarks, and we'll be interested to hear whether with this combined proposal there's more support for an element of affordable housing in the project. And that is a good question.
I'd actually be, since she's here, I would be interested in hearing what Linda Robinson has to say about this idea, if she's so inclined. All of you are talking about making an investment in East Portland, so I think having somebody from East Portland give her thoughts, since we have a little time left, would be useful.
My thoughts on which aspect of the proposal, all of it. Well, I like the idea of having parks have some presence next to this park, particularly since it's being designed as an urban plaza, and it's the first urban plaza really outside of the core of the city. And so I think having parks, some parks presence there would be really positive and help that actually happen. I think it's gonna take a lot of work to make that happen as a plaza park with community activities. I really like the idea of having some meeting spaces and some places for community events and activities that are right next to the park, so that you can have things either indoors or outdoors, or maybe blended in you know, certain weather conditions and times of the year. That's my primary thing. I mean, as you've stated, there is considerable concern about the housing being a totally affordable housing that's incorporated in the structure. We assume there will be some affordable housing, but the preference would be to have a mix of housing, both market rate and affordable housing. We'd like the idea of having office space that employs people who have an income level where they have discretionary funds so that they can, in turn, like during their lunch hour and otherwise, support the businesses that are developing along the corridor, which is part of our concern about having the office space being totally non-profit occupied. They tend to not have the same level of income and benefits and stuff as government employees do if you're going to have office space or private office space would have. I mean, we do. I like the mix. The idea of mixed use. We do need eyes on the park during the day. I like the way it opens up to the park, where it looked to me like some of the earlier proposals, where there's like a hedge or a driveway or something that was really kind of a separating the building more from the park. You know, having retail, and we do need some retail space, particularly. We really are committed to the idea of a restaurant or an ice cream parlor or a coffee shop or some kind of thing that can kind of spread out onto the plaza and make that blend with it. Even a bookstore or something where people can, something related to what you might do in the park. You might grab a magazine and go sit in the park and read. I mean, so there needs to be something like that, but. Help?
Thank you.
You know, 4 years ago, I would, I think at this point, just declare a conflict of interest because I had parks and housing. And for this to work, PDC, parks, and housing have to get together. And Mayor has put down a very hard marker. And the parks and housing piece is not baked yet. It's a work in progress. Let me start with the cup half full. I love the design for this park. I love the vision, and I know it took a lot of work to get to this point. And I know that one of the defining features of Manda's legacy is at the head of parks is bringing parks, actual parks, to East Portland, not just building on the success we had in the past acquiring the dirt, but actually delivering parks that people can use. So we need to celebrate that. In terms of the affordable housing piece, I just want to note that over time I've become a big believer in structuring deals where the nonprofit developer or operator actually functions on site. Some of our most successful projects, Gray's Landing with Reach on site, Bud Clark Commons with its nonprofit operator on site, LifeWorks Northwest and Inner Northeast with its administrative offices on site. And the benefits are obvious. You're putting the professionals in charge of making this particular housing development successful on site. So they are working and interacting with people on a daily basis, and it is good for the tenants, it's good for the neighborhood, and it's, in most cases, good for the nonprofit because they're able to structure a new and updated headquarters. And while we're happy to have Human Solutions operate out of an old rundown Water Bureau property, we'll probably be happier when we surplus that property for something else. So, in terms of trying to get blended uses under one roof, you know, reminds me that we had an intractable problem in getting the urban center together, but we found a way to put lots of different uses under one roof, lots of different financing, and it was a success. Across the street from the urban center, we've done that with the archive building and the healthcare center and the classroom. Again, a very complicated deal, but lots of uses. And of course, Bud Clark Commons is at least three different uses under one roof, each one with different financing. So we have the potential to do that. I guess I think at this point, for me, it's just about putting some markers down. I like Dan, would prefer that we not tap major maintenance or the general fund to pencil this out. I think this has to stand on its own. And I think borrowing from STC, as long as it's a valid financial transaction, is possible. We have done that with some other projects. We've borrowed from the STC fund to help Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, that nonprofit, get their footing. So, but it has to stand on its own, and it has to be carefully scrubbed. I'm a little concerned, Ken, about the idea of substituting the Housing Bureau in for the vacated space in the Portland building, and in part because they're not just in the Commonwealth building. they're in a space in the Commonwealth Building that the employees designed. It is a unique space which they share with another bureau, and it not only means that their costs go up, coming back to the Portland Building, but I also think the space designed by employees in a very intentional way is lost, and it historically has been among the cheapest space in our system. And I know we're moving to an equalization, but it's still as a square foot proposition was among the cheapest. If you end up looking at a different mix in the housing side, I would urge you, Dan and PDC, to think about putting some of that live workspace back in. The thing we keep hearing is that artists are getting displaced from a central city. And I would love if this was possible for this to be a place where we salted some affordable art space. Remember, artists, particularly emerging artists, also generally are eligible for housing at 0-60. I mean, there's a nice overlap. But if we could have some creative spaces there for people who are being displaced, and we begin to create a sense of a hub of artists there, I have often regretted not raising this issue more loudly a number of years ago when Charlie came in and said Lentz and Gateway are failed urban renewal districts. What can we do differently? I wish ahead of the curve I had said, let's think about displaced artists as being part of the mix. And live workspace was part of the original vision. So salting in that, I don't think you're going to get the same neighborhood pushback. I also think that in terms of the mix of people you're serving, I don't know what the need is there. I haven't seen any surveys. But generally, if you're also capturing older adults who would otherwise be displaced from communities they lived in, I think there's a different community reaction. So I would hope that we're looking at not just families that we're housing, but perhaps older adults. And an older adult that can live in a building adjacent to a park and down the street from transportation, that's about as good as it gets in our city. Finally, I just want to say to Amanda that as I was listening to this presentation, which I think is sort of a model for how we should do work sessions, I'm reminded that in the old days, I think, Charlie, when you served with Vera, Vera was a big believer in these Tuesday work sessions. And I think under Mayor Adams, they got sort of pushed aside a little bit. And there was probably some pushback from colleagues about, you know, just having too much stuff scheduled. And this is a couple hours during prime time where we're not in council. But for me, there's no substitute for being able to sit down with my colleagues and with the staff and go deep on this. And I wish on a lot of other issues we had the luxury of being able to do this, because it gives us a much deeper and broader perspective on it and with the experts at the table. So I think it's structured. For me, I think it's a high burden to get to yes on this, but I agree with what Dan and Charlie have said. I applaud Amanda for innovation on this, and I hope that we don't ultimately delay too long moving on the housing piece. If Human Solutions has been selected, they've done some fantastic development in that community. They're very well regarded in the Mid-County area, and I think we've got to move on that, and I can't think of a better place to put affordable housing than adjacent to a new park in the middle of an emerging area. I think that's great. So thank you very much.
I think I share some of my colleagues' ambivalence. I mean, I don't want to dismiss the idea of making this investment in East Portland. I think the concepts are interesting. I am concerned about using major maintenance money. I share some of the concerns the mayor raised. My feeling is I kind of like to mull over this and think about some other questions I might want to ask. And I think that, not saying that this is what we should do, but maybe there is an idea of, do we do the outreach and talk to the community and ask how much appetite there is for this, other than just talking to Linda, of course.
Well, thank you, colleagues. And indeed, this was for brainstorming, for looking down in detail. Four unanimous no's. So I didn't hear stop, don't think about this. That's not even a possibility in any way, shape, or form. So thank you. And I do agree with Commissioner Novick that we need to do more outreach, more thinking about this. And maybe there's a hybrid. Maybe there's a piece at the near the David Douglas School site or something. I am authorized to say that Mayor-elect Ted Wheeler was really excited when we talked to him about this. So I think that there was some ongoing interest moving into the next administration to see what we could do here. And I really appreciate everybody just having something that's not fully baked at all. I mean, that was the intent of bringing it here, was to what are the new things we should be looking at that we haven't thought done so far. And, you know, as I said, did we get a complete, everybody unanimously saying, no, stop, don't even waste any more time on that? And I didn't hear that. So thank you very much, and we'll see what we can do.
All right, thanks everybody.